Move on here. Up next is our Monkfish Skate Committee report. Just kind of point out we're actually doing this in two different sections. I will kick it over to Matt Scott. I don't know who's taking the lead on this one. So it is up to you, Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just wait for the staff to get settled. Thank you. The Monkfish and Skate Plan Development Team, since our last council meeting in January, the Skate Plan Development Teams, the joint Monkfish and Skate Plan Development Teams, met on February 2nd, and the Monkfish and Skate Advisory Panels and Committees met jointly on March 19th to review the 2025 Joint Management Strategy Report, followed by a discussion on the IFQ scoping document for monkfish and or skate wing fisheries that was drafted for the New England and Mid-Atlantic Councils. So following a presentation by council staff, I will have one committee motion for the council to discuss. So I will look to Dr. Feeney for the first part of our presentation. Thanks.
Very good. Good afternoon, everybody. I'll be presenting about the review of the 2025 joint effort. You can advance the slide. Thank you. So as Mr. Oshevsky just noted, we'll be in two parts. You have a white paper in your binder on a summary of the efforts in 2025 to coordinate monkfish and skate meetings and activity. We did a review of that. There's no council action needed. It's a compilation of feedback. Just to clarify, we're not considering an action at this point to combine the plans. And then Jenny will take over on the IFQ scoping topic after that. Next slide. So on the review, thank you. So in 2025, the council tasked us with coordinating committee, advisory panel, and plan development team activities and begin reviewing and thinking about the effectiveness of working more jointly across these two plans. So in prior years, we've always met separately as monkfish and skate groups. However, we were finding that there were a lot of overlaps in the issues and the topics, having two conversations that sometimes go in different directions and feeling like it would be better maybe to have one conversation with all the groups together. There are overlaps in these fisheries, particularly between the monkfish and the skate wing fisheries that we're often both talking about. There's in the fisheries themselves, the vessels are often targeting monkfish, but they're incidentally catching large amounts of skate, and that can lead to perhaps ending trips early if you're hitting the skate trip limit prior to the monkfish limit. So there are different ways that the fisheries constrain each other. And we had specification actions occurring in development last year, so it made sense to try this joint approach last year. So in the near term, the goal was to support the specification actions and think about this as a stepping stone to consider whether joint management should continue in the future. And then this was also information that can be used in the larger long-term IRA project efforts around cross-jurisdictional governance and whether joint management should be more formalized. Next slide. So the staff over the winter held individual and small group interviews with plan team members, advisors, and committee members, as well as some council leadership. You can see in the table the numbers of people that were interviewed. We asked questions related to how our meeting processes went in 2025, effectiveness of those meetings, and gathering ideas for ways to improve the work. So you'll see I'll be running through several slides with some input, and you'll see some of this feedback applies specifically to joint, you know, monkfish and skate management, but some of it relates to just generally meeting and work process improvement ideas. We also brought a draft of this report and input to the advisor, the joint AP and committee meeting in March, and got a couple more ideas for input. So you have the final version in your binder today. Next slide. Okay, so first thinking through feedback related to feelings of what went well with this joint arrangement. Regarding the joint meeting structure, there was a general sense that this improved meeting efficiency. We have overlap in fishery participation. So one meeting made more sense than having people having to attend two. There was a sense of improved context and a broader perspectives could be provided on the topics. We were more thoroughly considering the recommendations and ideas that were coming forward for management, and it was easier administratively to plan for one set of meetings. It was also felt that there was improved engagement in these meetings and attendance across Monkfish and Skate groups. Regarding the joint analyses that the PDTs did, we had joint meetings, but then we also did hold some FMP-specific meetings. There was a sense that that was an appropriate way to go about it when we had enough topics that were FMP-specific to meet separately. The delegation of tasks went smoothly across the plan teams. We had one NOAA person pulling all the data that we had for these analyses. That went well. Sorry, there are enough heads. I can't see the bottom of the screen. cut off your heads. Thank you. No, it's okay. These analyses helped answer. You're okay. You're okay, Eric. Answer questions relating to the interactions between these fisheries were better answered through this joint effort. Go ahead. Thank you. On some of the challenges, next slide, please. On some of the challenges with this arrangement regarding the meeting structure, so some felt that these groups were not inclusive or representative. Some participants who perhaps were not part of the monkfish and skate wing overlap component of the fisheries felt that their issues were not as pertinent to the meetings and discussions, felt disregarded. Some of the discussions weren't relevant to all the stakeholders across both fisheries, such as the skate bait fishery. There was some lack of representation from all the different fishery sectors on these advisory panels. And in the meetings, there was some confusion that we worked through, but confusion on voting protocols when we were voting on, say, just a skate issue or a monkfish issue. There was some mismatch of expectations and feeling like the meetings were not as focused. We sometimes got into pretty lengthy discussions that were unrelated to the overall meeting goals, and some confusion around the goals and potential outcomes of this joint process. Some were thinking that we were immediately jumping into joint management that year, and others, you know, kind of better understood that this was a longer term consideration that we were entering into. There were some expectations were unclear on the utility of this work. There was some shifting understandings of the problems that we were working on over the course of the year, that adjusting the effort limit controls that we were considering could help resolve. That led to some shifting analyses that could have been more efficiently worked through. There was some concern that the final work priorities that the council decided on for 2026 were not aligned with those that came percolating up through this joint group recommendation, this IFQ program scoping. So that was discouraging to some that these joint discussions were building a strong consensus that wasn't carried forward through the December council meeting. Next slide, please. Regarding the joint effort on the data analysis side, there was a pretty wide scope of tasks that the PDT was provided with, and that was challenging. And again, some focus mostly on the Monkfish and Skate Wing components. We, like all plan teams and work last year, had shifting timelines in terms of the, well, our final actions got moved up from December to September, so that moved our work around quite a bit and had us kind of reconsider the scope of what we were able to do. Some of the work we were tasked with was kind of tangential to the scope of the actions, and so there's a sense that maybe we were being inefficient in some aspects of our work. Some of the analyses that we did on identifying overlaps between the Monkfish and Skate fisheries and where one fishery is constraining the other, the data that we pulled and produced was not exactly consistent with some of the industry perceptions of those overlaps. So that was cause of some confusion there. There was a perception of an overabundance of skates limiting monkfish, and that could lead to a lot of increased effort. There were some off-topic analyses that were not really helpful for the joint evaluation, and some shifting interests over time that led to some last-minute analyses just before final action. Go ahead. Next slide, please. So on ideas for improvement regarding meeting preparation and materials brought to meetings, needed to more clearly ensure that the outline and purpose and goals for these meetings are outlined, that the expectations are set up front for any joint endeavors to avoid confusion on simultaneous projects going on. We need to more clearly clarify the roles and responsibilities of the different groups involved and where their input would be incorporated into the process. More background information provided across the different groups to help improve everyone's understanding given turnover over time. And continuing to share email updates to improve communication. There was one recommendation to have more closed meetings of PDT subgroups to work on specific tasks that could then be brought to a wider audience. Ideas around having more joint PDT and AP working meetings together. The joint management discussions should be separate from regulatory topics, and suggestions to allow participants to engage only on their topics of interest rather than across the issues, across the range, though there would be some quorum issues with that approach. Next slide. For more suggestions for improvement, there was a sense that we needed more focused PDT tasking by the committee to answer specific questions, more close working relationship between the council staff and the committee chairs on ensuring focused meeting directions, improved facilitation at the meetings to avoid unfocused discussions, setting clearer goals around timeline of work delivery before the PDT tasking. This becomes especially true for when you have more diverse people in the room. There was a sense that the PDT should learn more from the AP and committee on the goals and the scope of the tasking before pulling data and analyses proactively to bring to them, and that the analyses should clearly identify and make sure we're accounting for all the different segments of the fishery. There was also some recommendations around, in general, having more approachable information materials to explain science, data, assessment processes, using recordings on YouTube, for example, having staff presentations pre-recorded, things like that. Next slide, please. Regarding the data, there was suggestions around focusing on simpler data analyses in fishery performance, focused by subset of PDT members, providing more basic analyses across both fisheries. Note that this is not consistent with the recommendation on the last slide of the PDTs waiting to be tasked by the committee versus working proactively. So I think there's some pluses to both approaches to consider. But with this approach of what this would help determine what's feasible and sensible to reduce unnecessary analyses not used in decision making, this would reduce shifting AP and committee priorities tasking. We had some tasking early in 25, and then the focus by the end of the year was more on the economic analyses. That was a topic that came up later that we could have done more work on earlier in the year. And another final idea was to create a baseline data set for all plan team members to use for analyses to improve reproducibility of analyses in the future. So next slide. So just kind of in summary, some of the overarching lessons that we learned. There was some improved efficiency, but there were some mixed opinions on the success of the outcomes and if the joint approach was beneficial. There was definitely focus on the southern monkfish and skate wing components, with minimal focus on Gulf of Maine monkfish and the skate bait fisheries and other components of the fishery. This created a hierarchy of species or stocks that we focused on, particularly the overlap of the winter skate and the southern monkfish stocks. Any joint future endeavor would need a large AP to capture the diverse sectors across these fisheries, but should be managed with one AP and one committee chair. The data that was pulled didn't show consistent patterns in interactions between the southern monkfish and skate wing fisheries. There are a number of factors, external factors, and unpredictable nature of these fisheries that it's hard to sometimes show in fishery data what the fishermen feel are constraining their fisheries. Some other considerations to think about is that monkfish is jointly managed with a mid, while New England just manages skate. So that creates additional challenges when thinking about a joint approach going forward. And also that more proactive management aligning the regulations would be beneficial. So again, some of these ideas are specific to monkfish and skate, and some are more general about council processes. Next slide. So when we brought this input to the committee and the advisors on March 19th, there was still, again, some confusion on the purpose of the report, whether we were moving, you know, more quickly on joint management or using this as a stepping stone to thinking in the context of the IRA project. For the advisors, they were really mixed in their opinions about whether joint management should continue in the future or not. They were trying to develop a consensus statement to approve the summary report, but they got kind of tied up in feeling like they were being forced to opine about the future of management. So they ended up withdrawing their consensus statement. The committee was concerned about the fact that we don't have all the monkfish and skate fishery segments well represented on the committee or across the advisors, generally declining representation on the AP. They talked about the relationship with the IRA joint governance workshops. There was a staff level workshop just prior to our meeting. There'll be another larger workshop next winter, and a desire to wait to make any changes and decisions on monkfish and skate management until the larger IRA work is complete. And so just also to note, we had some discussion. We always ask the advisors at least once a year on fishery performance questions. And so we had a conversation with input from them on some challenges regarding the sturgeon action and being able to acquire the gear and the effectiveness of the gear for minimizing sturgeon interactions. They also shared with us concerns around continuing shifting stocks and constraints for the offshore wind development, hampering their access to fishing grounds, an overabundance of skates continuing to limit the monkfish harvest, and increasing shipping and transport costs while we're seeing declining fish prices. So next slide. So that's the end of my slides. So I think we'll pause for any questions and discussion.
Thank you, Dr. Feeney. I just say, you know, I listened to a number of the combined meetings. I went through the white paper and, you know, yes, there were some challenges. I think some of the challenges that were highlighted in there were not the result of combined meetings. You know, talking about shifting timelines, that would have happened whether it was two meetings or one meeting. You know, talking about, well, this is not my fishery, I'm not engaging. We've always had that at monkfish and skates. You know, we have a north-south monkfish fishery. We have a trawl. We have a gillnet in the skate fishery. We have a wing fishery. We have a bait fishery. So with all that said, we've always had some of these challenges as separate meetings. They're probably going to be the same as combined meetings. I still think there was a lot of benefits that came out of this, and I would encourage us to think about just doing this for another year. I think that was one of the recommendations to see how this moves forward, and then we'll get some better guidance through our IRA project. But, you know, overall, I think it was a great idea, and I would love to see it continued. With that, we are kind of a little behind schedule. If some quick comments, Mr. Smith?
Yeah, more of a question, and it's a follow-up to your comment, Dan. My question was whether we are committed to this joint management or not. It seemed like there was a mixed review, overall beneficial, but I was curious of hearing from Rachel or from Scott or from Matt on whether they think this process is working well. But if there's not a decision for us to make on whether we're going to keep doing it or not, maybe it's irrelevant. But I'm just curious to hear what the committee chairs have to say about how it went.
I'll go to Mr. Oshefsky.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Jeff, for the question. I think Chair Solano kind of hit all the points that I was a little bit concerned about. I think the summary report is valuable in kind of understanding what did and didn't work. But, you know, in defense of how some of the early joint committee, AP committee meetings went, I think there was this maybe an unforeseen complexity to this approach, what we first kind of viewed as these two interacting fisheries that are inhibiting, you know, one or the other. The reality of it was there's two management units, two APs, two committees, two councils, two species, wing, bait, et cetera. And I think one of the things that I took home from the report was the need for maybe like these subgroups to try to identify, you know, some of the areas to concentrate on. So, but I think it's a worthwhile venture, and I think they are closely related. I just think we have to think about the complexity of it, and I'll turn it over to Chair Gates to see if he has anything to add. Thanks.
Mr. Gates?
Yeah, I think the only thing I would really add to that is that, you know, there's two management plans, and I think, you know, combining the management into one thing, I think the jury's still out on whether we want to manage them together. But I think we definitely benefited from the discussions of the two groups or the four groups or however many groups it is together. Having them all in the same room to do those discussions, I think, was beneficial.
Thank you for that. I'll go to Terry, and then I'll come to you, Mr. Platts.
Yeah, I was an advisor originally the first of the year, and then I got appointed to the council and got on the committee, the Monkfish Committee, and I learned a lot from the Skate AP and the Scallop and the Skate Committee, and I thought it was beneficial to me as a council member to hear that discussion. So I would encourage us going along with it.
Thank you. Mr. Platts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. Yeah, the Monkfish and Skate guys from Southern New England very much like this process being together. They've been wanting it a long time. Some of the divisions and separations that existed are a function of the fact that we're managing skate as a complex. And so you have distinct groups within the skate complex. That's not to say there's a distinction between winter skate and Monkfish. There was, you know, I don't think that point came out clearly enough in the presentation, but that's where there's a breakdown. I do think that we have very limited representation from the north, although we're not getting applications. There historically was strong representation from the north, and having the mid is another complication. But my take was that the winter skate and Monkfish fishermen were quite happy with this and would be really disappointed if it did not go forward.
Thank you for that. Just to point out, we do have a northern guy. I think he just missed the last AP meeting, but we do now have a Monkfish North fisherman on it. I would just like point out a lot of the comments, concerns that we keep hearing is, you know, welcome to groundfish. Honestly, you have north, south, inshore, offshore. So I think the complications that you're talking about, we live every day at groundfish, and we've been working together as one family for a long time now. With that, I would like to move on to our next presentation. I believe we're going to Ms. Couture on the Monkfish Skate Wing IFQ program.
Thanks. Next slide. So I'm going to be discussing the IFQ scoping priority idea with you all today. I just want to start by more reminding folks how we ended up where we are today. So some of you may remember last fall, the Monkfish and Skate groups, APs and committees met, discussed priorities for work to be done this year. And as you can see on the screen, the highest priority items included Monkfish CPUE research being peer reviewed, exploring options for moving from escape possession limits that are per trip to being charged by number of days at sea, creating a skate wing RSA program, a three-season approach for managing skate wing fishery. And then there were a number of lower priority items, including IFQ program. You'll see the items in green were all that were recommended by the executive committee. The ones underlined were recommended by the advisory panels. It's worth noting that neither the executive committee or the advisory panels wanted to move forward with the IFQ program. Next slide. And to bring you back to the December council meeting, our December council meeting, there was a motion to replace some of the executive or all of the executive committee recommendations to really focus on the IFQ scoping program for Monkfish and or skate wing fisheries. The rationale provided was this type of program is supported by Southern New England fishermen historically, was opposed by Mid-Atlantic fishermen, but that had changed in recent years, and they had been advocating for such a program. This would be more of a holistic, comprehensive solution for both Monkfish and the skate wing fisheries. It's better to approach it more holistically than more piecemeal approach. Fisheries aren't really operating efficiently or profitably. There's recognition that this would be a long endeavor. It's not a perfect solution, but would be an improvement, and that the council really needs to focus on these two segments of the fisheries. Next slide. So I have a couple of slides on more recent, or I guess work that had been done that's applicable to IFQ scoping. So the first is Monkfish Amendment 6. So they're scoping for a catch share program back in 2010, 2011 to really focus on maximizing yield and improving profitability, minimizing changes to fleet distribution and composition, and really allowing for monkfish to be caught in other fisheries. So some of the objectives of the program included modifications to day at sea allocation to really address latent fishing effort, day at sea leasing, changes to the research set-aside program, considering integrating monkfish into the groundfish sector system, and then creating an ITQ program. So the council worked at the time for several years on this amendment, and then it was eventually withdrawn in 2016, given it was determined catch shares were not the best approach for this fishery. Next slide. And then moving on to Skate Amendment 5. So this amendment focused on limited access. There were two different sets of scoping periods, the first in 2016 to evaluate skate limited access due to concerns of shifting effort from other fisheries into the open access skate fishery. There was a problem statement and goals and objectives developed. The second round of scoping occurred in 2021, and eventually the amendment was withdrawn in later that year, given limited access was deemed not necessary. Next slide. So that brings me to providing you an overview of the scoping document for an IFQ program for monkfish and or skate wing fisheries. I wanted to provide some of that background just for awareness for how we ended up where we are today. So last week I presented these sets of slides to the Mid-Atlantic Council meeting in New York, given monkfish is jointly managed. Today you'll hear a similar report. We have scoping set to begin April 20th, which is next Monday, to be run through May 18th. We already have scoping meetings scheduled starting in 2 weeks from yesterday back in Portland, then New Bedford, Long Island, New Jersey, and then we'll have a webinar only option. Next slide. So to provide an overview of the scoping document, really focused on asking questions related to an IFQ program for monkfish and or skate wing fisheries and seeking comments on the need for an IFQ program, what elements the program should include, and then how would this program address and promote conservation. Next slide. So you'll see in the document, there's focus on more of the theoretical benefits of the catch shares. We were trying to better understand more of the benefits and clear rationale from the committee to include in the scoping document. The joint committee didn't provide any additional rationale, and you'll see why in a few slides. Next slide. So the comments that we were hoping to receive from members of the public: what are the current problems in managing monkfish and or skate wing fisheries? Can an IFQ program address those problems? Why or why not? What other approaches should be considered? Should an IFQ program be developed for one or both of those fisheries? And what are the benefits and drawbacks? Next slide. So if a quota program were to be developed, what are the goals and objectives? What's the basis or the criteria for allocating quota? So does that include certain sets of years for fishing history, active versus latent, or lease-only permits? How do you avoid excessive shares of quota? Should leasing and transfer of quota be allowed? Does this apply to all sectors of both monkfish and or skate wing fisheries, and consideration for interaction with other fishing vessels? Next slide. So in terms of the process, the idea is public input would be gathered through the scoping process and then the input would be summarized. In June, the idea is to bring forward the overall summary to our council and then the same summary provided to the MID with input on next steps and whether an action should be initiated, And then if initiated, the council would develop and analyze alternatives, develop a NEPA document. Because Monkfish is jointly managed between both councils would have to agree on proposed action. And then there is that referendum requirement for New England for an IFQ program. Next slide. So the Secretary of Commerce would have to initiate a referendum. There would be a proposed and final rulemaking process and would require 2/3 of eligible voters to approve that. If that 2/3 vote isn't achieved, then you'd have to kind of take a few steps back and start from kind of square one to revise the program and seek another referendum. But if you do get the 2/3 of the eligible voters achieved, then you can kind of pass go, and then the councils would be eligible to submit the action to the secretary for normal rulemaking process. Next slide. So I provided some background information already that's included in the scoping document. There's also information related to assessment and management approaches and fishery performance. Next slide. So as Rachel mentioned, the Monkfish and Skate AP and committee all met as one group on March 19th to give an overview of the joint AP discussion. There is strong opposition for moving forward with scoping. There are a lot of questions and concerns related to IFQ program details, how exactly it would work, control date, qualification criteria, what about new entrants into the fishery from other fisheries, desire for alternative management approaches, namely the ones that were brought forward by the AP and the committee in the fall, economic considerations that had to be considered, for namely the domestic and international market considerations and impact on price, tariffs, transportation concerns. There's concern related to an IFQ program creating a choke species. And then there's a bit of a discussion on why skate bait wasn't included in this action and or this priority, and then what would be the impact of an IFQ program on skate bait and other segments of the fishery. Next slide. The joint committee had the opportunity to discuss their input as well. They also recommended the councils not approve the scoping document. Groundfish sectors have been challenging. It's really unlikely that the referendum would pass with 2/3 majority vote. The joint AP didn't select IFQ as a priority. The seconder of the original motion from December didn't even support moving forward with an IFQ program. And there was emphasis by NOAA reps on the call that this would require a lot of commitment, given this would be a multi-year endeavor, so to proceed accordingly. There is some discussion on the council process and how to proceed, and if this would be a change in council priorities and opportunities for other work. In support of IFQ program, the maker of the original motion in December felt that this could be more of a holistic solution and that there wasn't entire representation of the AP members in the room. Next slide. The committee had a motion which was recommends that the council not approve the IFQ scoping document and discontinue the scoping process. Solution is in search of a problem and require different solutions. And the AP members and members of the public in attendance didn't support moving forward. And the motion carried unanimously. There are two abstentions, and those two are from both from NOAA reps in the room, one from Monkfish, one from Skate. As I mentioned, there are questions related to the council priorities and in the process, and if there's an opportunity to pivot to other work. From staff perspective that we relayed during the meeting, really need more of a robust discussion on possible management measures first and foremost. Next slide. So since the March 19th meeting, we've had several other meetings internally and then subsets of the council. So as staff, we kind of regrouped and thought maybe there's an opportunity to pivot the IFQ scoping meetings to ask comments more broadly on fishery improvements in the monkfish and the skate fisheries, so not just skate wing fisheries. It is worth noting that this would require 2/3 majority vote. The idea is that this could help hearing from members of the public on challenges that they're seeing in the fisheries and experiencing, and if they have other ideas for potential management measures for the council to address those challenges. So input from general counsel, this is allowed, this pivot idea would be permitted, because these would be considered more listening sessions. The executive committee discussed this during their March 25th meeting and agreed with the joint committee that it no longer made sense to scope for a possible IFQ program given the opposition to date. There was discussion on this staff pivot idea, but no consensus recommendation. There was some comments that this type of conversation could be helpful for management, though. Next slide. So the rationale for some of this, for no longer scoping, was lack of stakeholder support, so near unanimous AP support to not continue with IFQ scoping. This wasn't an immediate priority. Given limited staff resources, that should be considered. And then the idea for the pivot idea for repurposing the already scheduled scoping meetings could utilize the existing information to date. So I've already compiled all the priorities brought forward by various groups from, I think, the past 10 years on monkfish and skate-related ideas. We had the monkfish CPUE peer review that you'll hear more about tomorrow. There's a review report. I tried to pull out some of the information from there. There's also the information Rachel shared with you that we could bring forward. We would seek feedback on gear type dynamics, the specific fishery behavior between all the different components within both fisheries. And then anything gleaned from these meetings could help inform any priorities next year and beyond. Next slide. So last week during the Mid-Atlantic meeting, there was a motion on behalf of the committee move that the council not approve the IFQ scoping document and discontinue the scoping process. And then regarding the pivot idea, the staff idea to repurpose the already scheduled scoping meetings, they deferred to New England Council on how to proceed and to focus on monkfish and the skate fishery improvement ideas. There wasn't clear opposition to this idea. Next slide. So for today, the goal is to review and approve the scoping document and schedule and consider the motion from the joint monkfish and skate committee with the context of the monkfish motion from last week. And then depending on the outcome from that discussion and any motion passed, to consider the staff idea to potentially pivot and repurpose the already scheduled scoping meetings to have more of a broader discussion. And I think that's my last slide, so I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Couture. I just want to point out to the council, you know, obviously Ms. Couture went through it. You know, we talked about this in December during priorities. It moved pretty quickly. There was not a lot of discussion around how we pivoted in our priorities. When we came back to the committee AP meeting, there was quite a robust discussion about this IFQ scoping. So what I'm really looking for here from the council today is an in-depth discussion. The one that I think we probably did not have in December, we need to have now. I would open this up to questions, comments on the presentation. We will get to, there is the committee motion pending, but I would like to get some questions, comments on what has been presented so far. So I will look to the council right now. Mr. Platts.
Yeah, as the maker of that motion in December, I'll just give a brief explanation as to why I made it, the background for it, just for the sake of clarity. It seems pretty obvious to me that the IFQ is not going to go anywhere. I made that motion because I've been on the AP since 2004, so I know all the guys on the AP, and we all know each other's positions pretty much by rote. I was repeatedly surprised during the course of the year when I heard any number of advisors advocate, or at least say, when they're talking about the economic distress they're in, that they would like this, that, the other thing, and IFQ kept getting mentioned. It got mentioned repeatedly at multiple meetings by many of the advisors, I would say the majority, and at no point did anyone say, we don't want this. No other advisor said, well, I agree with you on X, Y, and Z, but I'm opposed to that. That discussion never, ever happened. I regret that I didn't, because I saw it as a 180 from mid its historic position, and I was stunned. It made me sit right up when I heard multiple mid advisors say IFQ. I wish I had said, and with benefit of hindsight, I would have asked, do you mean that, or are you just a fisherman just talking? I mean, because I'm sitting up and I'm listening. I've been on the advisor panel since 04, and I know what a change that is. And now I've heard it from multiple guys. And I didn't do that. And the next time I hear someone say something that out of whack with what they've historically said, I'm certainly going to call them on it and try and draw out a conversation. But that was the basis for me saying that. That and the fact that, you know, I looked at the costs associated with each one of the proposed actions, and I did a cost-benefit analysis. As I said on that day, the idea came to me in the morning, and I was like, we're going to spend years and years and years solving all these problems, addressing all these priorities piecemeal, and it would be much more expeditious and effective to do it in one motion. And I said that on that morning. So that was my rationale for doing it. I thought it was an expeditious way to solve all the problems. It also addressed the longstanding mid concern with latent effort, which was the underlying number 5 from the mid AP members and has been their concern for a long, long time. Not a concern I share, by the way, but they've always had it. And so that's why I put it forward. I don't have an axe to grind. I'm not looking, you know, I'm not dedicated to IFQ in this fishery. As a guy who has been calling for the cavalry to try and, in the form of a management action, to try and come and help this fishery for many, many years, I'm distressed and frustrated by the fact that my actions have now delayed the arrival of that cavalry. But that was my intent, was to solve the problem as quickly as possible and address their needs and interests, both in southern New England and the mid. And if I could go back in time, I would ask those questions of those guys who said IFQ. But obviously I can't do that. I see the IFQ as a dead issue. And so the discussion at hand is, you know, how best to move forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for that, Mr. Platts. Any other... Mr. Alexander.
Yeah, I mean, I voted for it at the December council meeting because I wanted to hear the conversation. I remember we were trying to, I was an advisor at the time, 2010, 11, 12, when we were trying to get maybe a sector allocation for the monkfish fishery, wrapped up with our sector allocation, and a lot of the gillnet boats down south, they didn't want anything to do with it. And I understood that, and so it was a dead horse at that point. But I did want to hear if the minds had been changed, if they'd been convinced that it was a better way to go. So I thought it was a good idea to at least have the conversation, but, you know, listening to the all the advisors and, you know, my personal views on what sector has what the sectors have done to the groundfish fishery here in New England, that really put a bad taste in my mouth for IFQ or sector allocation or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, after listening to that, that's kind of where I landed after the during the meeting. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander. Ms. Braun.
Thank you. I mean, it's pretty clear we're not going to go forward with the IFQ sessions, but I would like to know, so it's a question of, are we going to go ahead with this pivoted version or are we not going to do anything? Is that correct?
So we have to handle the IFQ scoping first before we get to that. I think we know where the writing's on the wall, but we actually need to cross our I's and dot our T's. Is that right? The other way around. Cross our T's and dot our I's before we get to that question.
Okay.
Any further comments, questions? Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I unfortunately missed this part of the council discussion for council priorities because I had to leave early for a funeral. So I just missed the end of that meeting that day. So I was not a part of the discussion. I mean, I welcome the opportunity to have discussions about different management tools that are in the toolbox that we should be open-minded to as managers. But I also believe strongly in, you know, the legitimacy of fishery management plans. And if you're getting a lot of feedback from the industry, the AP, the committee, the Mid-Atlantic Council, that's it. So, hopefully we can pass a motion pretty quickly to discontinue, and then we can decide what to do moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And it seems like we're getting into that dance around motion. So I will turn to Mr. Olszewski with the committee motion, if we can have that put up on the board. Thank you. Mr. Olszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'll read the committee motion into the record. I move on behalf of the Joint Monkfish and Skate Committee, recommend that the council not approve the IFQ scoping document and discontinue the scoping process. I will look to you, Mr. Chair, if you wanted discussion on that committee motion, but I do have a motion to amend when appropriate.
Thank you. Let's bring up the motion to amend now. This is not a committee motion, so when you're ready, move
Thank you.
For a second.
I move to amend that the council disapprove the IFQ scoping document and discontinue the 2026 council priority to scope for an IFQ program for monkfish and or skate wing fisheries. And if I get a second, I will provide some rationale.
Mr. Gates, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just, you know, following the lack of support from both the joint advisory panels and the joint committees for skate and monkfish, in addition to the motion passed by the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council to not approve the IFQ scoping document, there's really no need to continue in its development. And I think we should allow the AP and the committee to develop priorities that were identified earlier. But regardless, it should be removed from the council's 2026 priorities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Anything further, Ed Matt?
Yeah, no, I think this just cleans things up for us. So I appreciate the amendment.
Okay, thank you. So before we get into discussion on the motion, I do want to point out this is actually technically a change in priority, so we will need a two-thirds vote. Doing my rough math, that means we will need 12 votes to pass this to be successful. So I will open this up to questions, comments on the motion. Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak in favor of the motion and ask a question that's the second half of what you just said. So this is a change of priorities. If we want to do listening sessions to learn more about what's going on in the fisheries, will that require a change of priorities and a two-thirds vote as well?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions on the motion? Speaking to the motion on the board? To the council? Like I said, this was a very low discussion back in December. I'm looking if there's anyone that wants to add a little more input behind. We are changing priorities. Generally, we'd like to see a little more input around this. I guess we've already had some of that input. Ms. Braun.
Quick question, just to, you asked, so in there, in one of the pages, it said that someone suggested that maybe the industry is not well represented on the AP, or that there are certain components that are not represented. If that were the case and there were people that really wanted this, you'd think they would be here. Is anyone here to support it? I mean, I don't think I see anybody here to support it.
I think you're right.
Okay.
But I will now go. No, thank you for that. I will actually go to the public since there doesn't seem to be much discussion around the motion. So anyone in the room, Knut Nykerk, please.
How y'all doing? I'm Knut Nykerk. I just wanted to add that I had some fear about the ITQ fishery for monkfish. The reason why I have some concerns about it, apparently it's not going to pass, but this is the concerns about it. When I look at the hake fishery in New England, I feel like that they have an appropriate number of hake delegated to the fishermen in New England. But the problem lies is that there's so much leasing involved with it that there's 150 boats. I think it's one-third to two-thirds. So three-quarters of the fleet doesn't have an active permit on it. So all the hake get delegated to permits that aren't on fishing boats. So it puts a high demand on the hake. Right out of the gate, there's a high demand. And I feel like if they did the ITQ fishery for monkfish, they would have to come up with an allocation on the monkfish, an amount of monkfish to be harvested every year. And if only one-third of the fleet is fishing, you would run into the same situation where you'd have a high lease cost for the monkfish, and it wouldn't be a cost effective. You would lose that ability to be profitable. All your money would go towards the buying the allocation of the fish. I just don't see like it would be a moneymaker at that point anymore. I feel like all your money would be lost into the allocation. I didn't think that was a way to go, and also I think you'd have an increase in your mortality. I really feel like that there's a shit ton of latent effort permits that are tied up in permit banks. I know you guys had mentioned something about it before. You'd have to clean up the latent effort. I don't know how you would account for that. Like, I really do believe that that's a big part of the reason why the monkfish are successful. You know, it's working well is because you need to have that monkfish permit on your boat. You can't lease that monkfish permit out at all to be able to harvest monkfish. And if you created a leasing program, all of a sudden those latent efforts that reside in the permit banks would all be activated, and you'd have a huge amount of effort onto that species. So I just feel like that it's ridden with all kinds of troubles. From what I've seen, anything that has a trip limit associated with it is a successful fishery, and everything that has an ITQ associated with it is not. So I'm in favor of everything that has trip limits in it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Nykerk. Anyone else in the room that wants to speak to the motion on the board? I will go out to the webinar land. Anyone online would like to speak to the motion on the board, please raise your hand so we could unmute you. Seeing none, I will come back to the council. Any further comments, questions to the motion on the board? Seeing none, I will do a roll call since this is actually a change in priorities, pretty heavy duty. So like I said, we're shooting for 12 votes or more to put this to bed. When you are ready, Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. When I call your name, please say yes, no, or abstain from the motion on the table. Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Whelan?
Yes.
Mr. D'Angelo?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Platts?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Abstain.
Mr. Pierdnock?
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Ms. Obel?
Yes.
Mr. Lucy?
Yes.
Mr. Hansen?
Yes.
Ms. Odell?
Yes.
Ms. Braun?
Yes.
Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries 16-0 with one abstention.
Thank you for that. So, obviously... Thank you. So that was a motion to amend. Going to my Robert's Rules of Order, I should probably read the little sheet out front there. So this is now the main motion, so we will go through again. Seeing that this is there any opposition to this as the main motion? Any abstentions? The motion will pass with consensus with one abstention from the agency. So next up, obviously, we get to Ms. Braun's question of what do we do with these meetings that have already been paid for, on the books, scheduled? I think there's 4 in-person and 1 webinar starting right around the corner up here in lovely old Maine. So how would the committee, how would like the council like to handle that part of the discussion? Looking for a... Sure, go ahead, Toke.
I just, you said it was staff that recommended transitioning, pivoting to a listening session. Can we hear their rationale, or was it as simple as we already paid for them, so we might as well do something?
Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. So there is a cost consideration, and they are scheduled, so there is an efficiency to maintaining them. But really what staff thought about was there clearly was a lot of interest in doing something around monkfish and skate fisheries this year. It turns out that the priority that was set by the council is no longer desired by the council. There really is not an opportunity for us to just pick something else at this point for this year. So staff's perspective on these meetings is that it provides an opportunity to really hear from a wide range of participants and stakeholders around these two fisheries about what is important, what are the challenges, what might we be able to do moving forward. I think Mr. Platts highlighted that there are a lot of issues in the FMPs, in the way that these are managed, and in the fisheries. And staff's idea was that this would provide an opportunity, which we don't often have, to go directly out to the industry and ask what might be a better way to manage. And then the council can use that information to identify priorities for 2027 and beyond.
May I follow up?
Go ahead.
If we do that, I mean, having worked at DMR, if you go to a meeting and you don't know what you're going to hear, it might be completely useless. Like, is there a straw man, or is there anything that you would go to? Is there a list of things that you would suggest to make it more than just, here, I'm listening to what you have to say?
Yep. Ms. Couture provided a list in her slide that... You know, we've just completed the review of monkfish catch per unit effort information. We have the report that Dr. Feeney provided around different ways to coordinate monkfish and skate components. There's the list of priorities that the AP suggested from last fall, but maybe getting some more information on how those might work or which parts of those might work or be prioritized. There's been a lot of feedback around, you know, combinations of a northern monkfish component with a groundfish component, treating southern New England differently. So Ms. Couture did provide a list of sort of some straw man prompt questions that we would put into a presentation that we would bring to each one of these meetings to kick off the meeting and open up for discussion.
Thank you. Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, I think process-wise, we owe it to staff and to the fishery to be explicit about what we're doing with these meetings now. I mean, they're scheduled, so whether we want to transition them or not, I think I'm going to offer up a motion so we can have these discussions around whether we think they're useful or not. You know, I'm kind of on the fence. I've been both ways about whether our people are going to show up. Are they going to be informative? But then again, when we get to September, December and priorities, are we going to wish we had a little bit more insight? Like, all we're going to have is what we have now. So I'm going to offer up a motion just so maybe we can have more discussion around the utility or not non-utility of those.
Believe it's
yes,
on the board.
Okay, it's yep. on the board. So I move that the council approves the schedule of public meetings presented today to serve as listening sessions to inform future priorities in 2027 and beyond for the monkfish and skate fisheries.
Looking for a second. Mr. Platts. Rationale? Ms. Griffin?
Again, I think I led off with it, that I think process-wise, we need to be explicit about what we're doing here.
Thank you. Anything to add, Mr. Platts?
No, I think that covers it, and I think optimistically we'll get what we're looking for.
Thank you. I know I don't get a vote on this one. Well, I could potentially do, but I look at this priority here, and we think about what we did in January of our holistic strategic planning and some of the feedback that we've gotten over the years. You don't know what we do. You have no understanding how we prosecute our fisheries. I see this as a legitimate opportunity to go out coastwide, where the bulk of our fisheries, monkfish and skates, are occurring. We get to go to their ports, significant effort out of Maine, Massachusetts, Long Island, New Jersey. It's our opportunity to come to you as the fishermen. This is your opportunity to give us your information. There were some strange ideas that were thrown on the table at the Mid-Atlantic Council meeting. I didn't quite understand them, but if it's something that comes back to us, we could get better information about it. But this is an opportunity for the industry to really put information on the table. And, you know, we talk about our APs maybe not completely aligned with the full fishery, but this is an opportunity for the full fishery to have input on our potential priorities for 2027 and beyond. So I will now open this up to discussion on the motion on the board. Ms. O'Dell.
So to the maker and seconder of the motion, what do you mean by listening session? Will that be accompanied by a list of questions that council staff will prepare? Will it be an opportunity for a two-way discussion where, like, Jenny and Dr. O'Keefe had just mentioned, it'd be a good opportunity to update folks on the CPUE work that's recently gone through that I bet a lot of industry folks don't know. So, I guess, what do you mean by listening session, and could it be maybe expanded a little bit? Thanks.
Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, thanks for the question. And again, I think that's what we need to tackle right now, whether they're going to be useful. Staff has offered up. I think Jenny had a slide that maybe can get back up on there to show what at least was initially discussed. But yeah, that was the point of my statement that, you know, if you don't think we need them, then are you comfortable when we talk about 2027 priorities in September and December that you have the information you want? Or is there stuff that you want to draw out more to make those decisions? Because we're not replacing this with another monkfish priority. So if we don't do the listening sessions, it's not like there's anything going to be done then. So it is there's an opportunity there, but I recognize that, you know, there's concern about the engagement with this. But so here's the slide that's up.
I think the focus is in the green box, Jackie.
I like the green box. If we go forward with these meetings, I think that's a little bit more inclusive with target specific dynamics, you know, seek feedback on gear type dynamics. I mean, just some more structure, but broadening it a little bit more than just a listening session. So you might get a little bit more of a two-way discussion and some information that would be helpful. So if listening session is defined as the green box, then I think I can support it. I question, though, I mean, we're having a really hard time with getting industry to participate in various meetings. I just don't want us, I want them to be, I just hope that we're not, you know, people come to these listening sessions and offer input and are engaged. And I don't know what kind of outreach we would need to do for that, but I would encourage the council to really kind of push the outreach I mean, if you put ITQs on it, you'd probably get the room filled. But listening session, I don't know if you, you know, just it requires, I think, a little bit more outreach. Thanks.
Dr. O'Keefe?
Thank you. I guess I would just respond by asking council members to also assist with the outreach. This has been a challenging issue for staff, where the majority of council voted to do the IFQ scoping in December. Now we've paused it. Staff put together a full IFQ scoping document. So that's now time lost. We have these meetings scheduled. They will go on our website. They will go in the Federal Register notice. We do our outreach efforts, but we'd really appreciate if the council could take some ownership over this process as well. And if there's concern from council members that industry members might not show up, it would help if you could spread the word and encourage them to show up, so that their voices can be represented when you select priorities. Staff does not pick priorities. Council members pick priorities. Thank you.
So up next, I got a long list here. I'll go with Mr. Lucy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So just a clarification, listening session, does that still fall under the guidelines of NEPA, where it's simply people airing their concerns, where, you know, to some of these other points, it seems like if we had a more focused outcome, and I don't know if this is the proper way to do it, but if it's quite a geographic spread in the fishery. And so, and from what I'm hearing, there's probably different priorities for different parts of the geography. So could one of the goals be of this is for each session to come up with their own set of priorities they would like to see us consider in December? Can we direct a discussion that way, or does this fall under more of the traditional, we're here to take comments, not to answer questions?
As to the NEPA, I think that was in part of your presentation. There's no need for a flip on NEPA. I would turn to Attorney McDonald or Sikowski, if that is correct.
Can you, so is the question, what's the question?
Changing scoping to listening. Is there,
I mean, I think you already did that, and I think it's fine, right? So I don't think there are some elements of these sessions that could qualify as meeting some of the factors for NEPA, but it's irrelevant at this point because you're changing this for in the purpose of it. So,
thank you. And as to your second question about are we going to get a regional approach, I think that we will. I mean, we're having very disparate regions where we're reaching out to. I can guarantee you the comments that we're going to get in Portland are going to be nowhere near what we get in New Bedford versus what we get in Long Island versus New Jersey. New York and New Jersey might be a little the same, but I think overall we're going to see a wide range based on the gear type and the fishery that they participate in and the region.
So just to follow up, I mean, can we have a concrete ask of these sessions to have, instead of just getting a bunch of feedback and having the executive committee come up with what we think are how the priorities should read, should we have those industry folks like write down what priorities they think we should be considering?
Dr. O'Keefe?
So I don't think they need to write them down, but we are asking them for their priorities. If the council wants to identify things to add into this green box, now would be the opportunity to do so. This is a staff proposal. These are staff identified items. But again, this is the council's opportunity to, if you want more definition around this idea, then please provide it today.
Up next, I have Mr. Olszewski, and then I'll go to Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not completely opposed to this strategy, but I do question what we gain. I mean, we have a process that we initiated with a joint APs that identified 9 priorities that I have a feeling we will hear the same things if we have an audience. I mean, it's the start of fishing season. Again, I'm not opposed to it. I just question, is this appropriate use of staff resources? And will we get, you know, some ideas that we haven't heard yet? And again, little concerned about, you know, the AP process and what we've heard from them and sort of taking this additional approach. And the IFQ scoping was one thing. It was a very focused concept that people were going to speak to. This is kind of just a repeat exercise, but if it does, I will not be opposing it if it moves forward. I just wanted to get my thoughts on the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Up next, Jeff Smith, then Terry Alexander.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. I find myself in a similar position as Scott on this. Part of me feels like we're going to do these listening sessions because we already reserved the hotel rooms and we don't want to lose the money. I don't want us to waste that money either. But I think the discussion that we've had around this table about being explicit about what it is that we want to get from the industry is very important. I appreciate the work that staff put into putting up the words in the green box over there. But I think there needs to be work done between now and if we do have these listening sessions to turn those bulleted items into meaningful and probing questions, or we're just going to get stuff all over the map. So I'm concerned about whether we have time to develop these good bullet points into a set of questions that are going to help us have a meaningful conversation at the listening sessions. I appreciate the executive director's encouragement for council members to play a role in getting the word out to get people to participate, because I'm concerned when people hear the IFQs off the table, they're going to go on and get ready for the fishing season and recognize that the threat of the IFQ is gone. So why do I need to go? I'm worried about that. But the one thing I'd just like to understand from a process perspective, Dr. O'Keefe, you said if we have ideas, give them to you today. I don't think we can give them to you today in a thoughtful manner. I don't know if there's time between now and the meetings, or now and next week, or now and the end of this meeting, for members of the Skate and Monkfish Committee, the committee chairs, to sit down and think about how do we want to turn those bullet points into questions that will actually elicit a meaningful conversation at a listening session. I hope there's time to do that, because if we don't set that conversation up well, I think we're going to hear a lot of things that we've already heard before, and it's not going to help us that much. So hopefully there's a little time, even within the context of this meeting, to try to provide feedback to staff on how to frame the questions up for the listening sessions. Thank you.
So before I jump to Terry, I got you on. I got a couple more names on the list. I just want to point out, we just took off the IFQ scoping as a priority. That was our only priority for Monkfish and Skates moving forward for this year. With that off the table, I do not anticipate any more committings or AP meetings for the rest of this year. We've taken the one priority off. Why would we hold another meeting? As to your point, can we have some thought what goes into this? Our first scheduled meeting, whatever you want to call it, is scheduled for 2 Mondays from now, right here in Portland. Two Mondays from now. I think it's April 27th. There's not much time. I think that's why we're trying to get, if there are other ideas and people do want to move forward for that, the sooner the better, but there's really not a lot of time before our first meeting goes out. So I just want to make people understand is there may be some expectations that, oh, well, we'll get around and we'll kind of sit together and throw things. There's not that level of time, and there's no meetings specifically scheduled for that. So I just want to make people understand where we are now after our just previous vote, if that helps.
To the maker of the motion, is that how you envision things happening? We would have listening sessions and then nothing else would happen until we talk about priorities in December, or the first priority discussion in September?
So my understanding, and I'll look to the executive director, is just what the chair said, that we've discontinued our priority. So if we voted this down and say we're not going to hold any kind of meetings, we're not having any AP or committee meetings. That's my understanding.
But what I heard the chair just say is even if we have these listening sessions, we're still not having any AP or committee meetings.
That's not for me to answer. I mean, that's
Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. So we were planning to have an update to the council in June based on the outcome of these meetings, whether they were going to be IFQ scoping meetings or if the council
passes this motion and makes them listening sessions. So we would continue to maintain that schedule if this motion is passed. If this motion fails and we don't hold these meetings, that's what the chair is referring to. There wouldn't be any reason to have another Monkfish Skate AP or committee meeting.
Sorry about that. Mr. Alexander and then Mr. Gates.
Yeah, so, you know, listening to the APs during our discussion, you know, a lot of the conversation revolved around latent effort in the fishery. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jenny or Rachel, I'm not sure which. Jenny, I think. That we have 500 and something monkfish permits and only 50 something of them fish. Am I correct?
I don't know the exact number, but I think magnitude of five something is accurate and certainly a lot that are latent. I can bring forward the exact numbers to you and offline if you want.
We've been hearing latent effort for 15 years and we haven't done anything about that. So that might be a good conversation. That might bring some people to the table to add into the green box. So just to hear what people think about that. So, I mean, Knoop said, you know, we got a lot of permits sitting in permit banks right now that aren't active. So,
Mr. Pentney.
Thanks. Just, I support the motion. I think, I don't see any harm in, you know, given everything that's already been said about these meetings have been set up and the staff is prepared to go out and support these meetings in hearing what we might hear. And, you know, I look at the performance of the monkfish fishery. I'm just looking at 1 year right now, but in 2024, in the north, the monkfish fishery caught 102% of the quota or allocation. They landed 102%. In the south, it landed 24%. That's a huge difference for the same fish. You know, that's roughly 4.8 million left in the water of potential yield. That's not because of latent effort. So what is keeping people from landing monkfish that are available, at least in the water and in the quota? And I know there's a lot of reasons, and it probably has a lot to do with the, you know, we've heard about the skate issue and the days at sea allocations and the trip limits. But, you know, I really want to hear from the industry why they're not catching more of the, you know, more of that allocation.
Thank you, Mr. Pentney. Mr. Gates and then Mr. Platts.
Yeah, I'm going to speak in favor of the motion. I do share the concerns that I've heard from, like, Mr. Oshevsky and folks about what new things are we going to learn. You know, people brought up a bunch of priorities in the fall. But the industry has been sort of continually asking for help. They want us to do something. And so I think this is their opportunity to come out and tell us what they want us to do. And I think we owe it to them at this point. For taking a year off from managing them this year to get something ball rolling for next year. And I think if we get a lot of good input from them, you know, maybe we could invest in a little bit more than one or two priorities for next year, you know, if there's a lot of interest from the industry. So this is their chance, I think, to show us what their interest is in having us do something. So thanks. Hopefully they show up.
Thank you, Mr. Gates. Up next is Ted Platts, and then I'll go to Togbrone after.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I got a couple of points here. I'll try and move through them quickly. So over the years, the APs have really narrowed. You know, we have fixed gear fishermen from southern New England in the mid. We have one, maybe two mobile gear guys in the north. We used to have five or six of each in each region. It's So the voices being heard by the committee and expressed on the AP are a much narrower bandwidth of the historic participants in the fishery. So I'm in favor of this. Obviously, I seconded it. I'm in favor of this because I think it represents an opportunity to let the larger Monkfish and Skate communities speak and not try and catch a moving train, which is what how I would describe showing up at a framework meeting, an amendment meeting. The train's already out of the station and you're trying to steer it a little bit. This is a stationary bus and they can get on it and they can have their say. So I think there's a lot of value here. As to the cost, I don't know what a hotel room costs, and I don't know what our staff costs going down are. So I can't make a comparative analysis of more money after sunk money. I suspect in the grand scheme of things, they're both pretty insignificant numbers, and it's worth taking a shot at getting good information. I look at the green box, and I've thought this for a long, long time, and there's never been much appetite for it, but we really should think about three regions, not two regions. The southern management area is two decidedly different regions, the mid and southern New England. And they've always had different perspectives on things. They fish very differently. If you go to the mid and you have a listening session, there are questions that would be more mid-oriented that we should have on that docket that would have no relevance up here in Portland for the northern area guys. I'm very hopeful that we'll get guys who fish up here from the north to come to Portland and weigh in, whereas they won't go to Warwick, Rhode Island to weigh in and catch a moving train. So I think there's real value. I think there's minimal cost. And I think we would do well to use the little time we have left to prepare some thoughtful questions to go to each of the three regions. And let's treat the mid as really distinct and give them an opportunity to express what they want for their fishery. I'm curious to know if they would like to take their historic part of the fishery and have it managed by their council. I suspect they would, and I suspect that would actually be a prudent management action to consider. I've thought that for a long time, but we've never even got it on the table. So I'll leave it at that, but I think there's a lot of real value here, and I hope we'll take this opportunity to increase our understanding of the fishery and its participants and their desires.
Thank you, Mr. Platts. Ms. Braun, and then Ms. O'Dell.
I'm voting to kill it. I think if we had the time to look at this green box and really transform this into direct questions that would get something, likely to get something tangible out of it, I think it would be a good idea. I think at this point, the questions are too vague. People can attend AP meetings. They can talk to their fisheries, Maine Coast Fishermen's Association, other associations. There are other ways to get your ideas out there, and I don't think we're going to get anything out of here. We hear all the time about how staff has too much stuff to do. I think it's unfortunate, but I think this would be throwing good money after bad, and I'm going to vote no.
Thank you, Ms. Braun. Ms. O'Dell, then Ms. Zobel. Ms. Zobel.
I didn't raise my hand necessarily to speak in favor or opposition, although in light of all our holistic planning and my personal vocal support of having more outreach with industry, I'm in support of this type of endeavor. My question was, we're kind of weighing in on this, but has the AP had the opportunity to weigh in on this pivot? That was just one question, and I'm happy to do outreach with our one individual in New Hampshire who fishes for monkfish.
I think I may have you covered on that one. Mm-hmm. Any?
No, the idea for the pivot came out of the AP and committee saying they wanted to discontinue this year's priority. As has been mentioned, we had these meetings scheduled associated with the IFQ scoping priority. We do not have the bandwidth to reschedule all of these at another time in the year. It would be repurposing the schedule that we have or not conducting them. So the AP and committee have not had an opportunity to weigh back in. Obviously, the committee is all here today. The Mid-Atlantic did weigh in. There were some industry comments at the Mid-Atlantic meeting from actual Monkfish AP members. So there has been a public comment opportunity on this, but there has not been a direct AP request.
I will give the last word to Ms. Griffin.
Thanks. And I think to Renee and our executive director's
point, you know, we've put ourselves in this position, the council. This is a result of our decision making. So my one suggestion for if we do move forward with these listening sessions is that maybe the staff and the chairs want to format these more informally, like our SCOLLOP strategic plan sessions, where that really allowed a more back and forth creative discussion versus, you know, one party sitting at the table asking the question and the other party giving response. And maybe that will make these more fruitful, especially since we don't have the time to really perfect everything before we're going out. So that's my one suggestion.
Thank you. We've had quite a robust discussion on this. I would like to go to the public. I see Newkirk.
Hey, how you doing? I'd like to say, you know, you got the spare time for these different meetings and stuff, and it seems like a lot of these meetings get piled up and you get kind of lost in time to do other stuff. One of my suggestions is it seems to be limited time for the redfish review. It would be nice if we had some extra time to have some discussions around the redfish review and how it affects, you know, some of the other fisheries around here. That's one part of my suggestion. And as far as the monkfish, what the lack of participation for a lot of the different areas, I really believe a lot of the lack of participation in some of the areas around monkfish has everything to do with the ex cost of monktail. I feel like that, particularly in the summer periods, when the price of monktail drops down to $1.50 to $1.70 a pound, you're not going to see a strong participation. I really feel like what happened is when Europe put an environmental stamp on our monkfish, saying it wasn't sustainably caught species anymore, we lost the value of our monkfish. I think a lot of our value monkfish went over to Europe. And then shortly after that, we started getting terrible prices. So, you know, I'm reasonably sure that, well, I know for a fact if monktail's hanging on around $3.54 a pound, there's going to be strong participation. But, you know, as it stands now, it won't. As far as getting people to attend the meetings, one of the biggest discouraging factors that I notice is when we go to a meeting, 3-minute comment is kind of discouraging. When when everybody comes in front of the council and they know that they only have 3 minutes, you know, to get their piece across, it makes it a little hard, you know. There's no give and take back and forth to the council members. A lot of times people want to know what's going on here. They're asking a different question. I kind of feel like it should be more question and response rather than dictation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Newkirk. Anyone else from the public in the audience in the room? Anyone online who would like to comment to the motion on the board? Please raise your hand. We will get you unmuted. Seeing none, quick look to the council. Any further comment, Mr. Hansen?
Yeah, just listening to the comments that are going around the room here, I think it might be wise to, instead of have a listening session, maybe a workshop might be a better format where you get a small group and give them a focus. You might be able to get a better direction on priorities out of a workshop than you would out of someone just coming up with a 3-minute, you know, dictation.
Thank you for that. I have participated in listening sessions before. I don't think we're normally limited to a 3-minute. I know, and the comment came up. Generally it is more of, we try to make sure everyone in the room has the opportunity to speak. You're not really limited to the 3 minutes. That's kind of a construct here to kind of keep us on time. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I just think a breakout group session type thing would be more productive than just getting comments.
Thank you for that. Mr. Pierdnock, last word.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The fellow that just got up, he mentioned that. Is it on?
You're good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is the MSC certification for Reds as well as Monks? Because that certification is about a $200,000 process, and I know that's very limiting with bluefin and other species. And if we talk about problems with trying to be able to sell the product, that's problematic, especially for retail chains across the United States, which will not buy fish that are MSC certified. So I'm just curious, is that both species or one or the other?
I don't know if that question really relates to the question on the board. I couldn't answer that for you.
Well, it does in a sense, because Mr. Pentany mentioned, you know, we all sit here and wonder why the red fish the monkfish can't be sold. There's similar problems with other species which require an MSC process, and you can't sell them to large national chains in the United States because they require an MSC process as well as overseas. So that limits those that are able to buy that product. So that's what was behind the question. Maybe we can talk afterwards. Okay.
Hold on. I appreciate the question. If that's something that the monkfish people want to have as an MSC certification, this would be their opportunity to talk about this.
No, I'm asking, are they MSC certified? No, it's the red that are.
Mike.
Okay, no, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to call the question here. I think we've had a very robust discussion about this. I'm not really feeling one way or another of how you're all feeling. Some of you kind of are up in the air. Some of you are yes, some of you are no. So I'm just going to go with a roll call now. Just keep in mind, this is a change. This is a new priority going on the table. This is another process that we will need 12 votes or more to move forward with these sessions. If this doesn't pass, that means we are done with monkfish and skates for the rest of the year. Sorry, Ms. O'Dell. I'm going to go to the roll call right now.
Thank you. When you hear your name, please say yes, no, or abstain to the question. Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Ms. Braun?
No.
Ms. O'Dell?
Yes, as long as it includes the green box. Thanks.
Mr. Hansen?
Yes.
Mr. Lucy?
Yes.
Ms. O'Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Papalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Pierdnock?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Yes.
Mr. Platts?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. D'Angelo?
Yes.
Mr. Whelan?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes 16-1 with no abstentions.
Okay. I turn to Mr. Olszewski. Anything further for monkfish/skates or Mr. Gates?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That concludes the skate and monkfish report. I'd just like to thank the PDT, the AP, the committees, and the council staff for a lot of hard work to put this together quickly. So I'll just turn it over to Chairman Gates if he has anything else to add, but that concludes this report. Thanks.
Oh, I have the same thanks for everybody. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will take we are a bit behind here, but I would like to give people 5 minutes. Please don't leave the room. We would like to get this back up.